Hello, everybody. If you can turn to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 and then from 11 to 24. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And we skip to 11, and he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my property, of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Okay, so every year, me and a few other guys, we do a canoe trip sometime in the summer. It's actually more of a boat trip now because pretty much nobody takes canoes, but we're usually on the lake for about 4 days, and as you can imagine, we have no showers or any personal hygiene amenities there, so you can probably imagine what the condition we're in after 4 days of being out in the sun. And well, I know that the first thing I want to do when I get home is take a shower, clean myself up, because after 4 days, it gets pretty bad. So when we jump into the story here, the Pharisees are grumbling at Jesus for receiving sinners and eating with them. Jesus was associating with these sinners. He was showing everyone that these were his friends, and the Pharisees didn't like that, so he told them this parable. And in the parable, the father has two sons. The younger son says to his father, "Father, I can't wait for until you die, so give me my inheritance now," which was an extremely offensive statement. But the father doesn't say anything back. He just agrees and does what the son asks, when this was grounds to probably kick his son out right there. So when the son takes his inheritance and goes to a far-off land and wastes all of it. In fact, it says that he squandered it in reckless living. So he wastes everything, and then there's a famine in this country. So the son is in a field longing to be fed with pigs when he finally comes to his senses, because nobody will give him anything, and he remembers that even servants in his father's house were treated better than that. So he gets up and heads back to his father's house. Now this is what I want to note. It's the reaction of the father. In verse 20 through 24, it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate.'" So the father sees his son coming and runs to him, and I'm sure that the son was in far worse condition than we are after our canoe trip when he got to his father, because he was feeding with pigs. So he's coming to his father, and the father runs out of his house and meets his son, but he doesn't even notice the condition that the son is in. He doesn't notice the dirt and the grime that I'm sure was on this son after living with pigs in the far journey home. He doesn't notice any of that, but he runs to him, he hugs him, and he kisses him. Now what the father does next is even more shocking. He doesn't tell his son to go wash himself. He doesn't tell his servants to clean his son up. And he doesn't tell his son to go take a bath or clean himself so that he looks presentable like everybody else, I'm sure, in the father's house did, because this was a rich man. He tells the servants to bring out the best robes and jewelry and shoes and put it on his son. And then they started to celebrate. So the question is, what was it that saved the son and brought him back into the father's house? Was it the laws of the father's house or any traditions that the son carried out? Or was it anything the son did or didn't do? Or was it even the son coming to the house? I think it was the mercy and the love and the grace of the father when he ran out to his son, and the son was saved before he ever even stepped foot into the house of his father. I think he was saved and forgiven as soon as the father reached his son. I think this parable teaches us that when we see unsaved, broken people, we have to run towards them. We have to run towards the brokenness and the messes. We can't turn away from them. We have to run towards them. And when we reach them, we have to embrace them and say, come on, this is your family. This is your home. You're welcome here. We cannot try to change them or clean them up from their past. We have to love them how they are and let God do the changing and cleaning. In his book, Share Jesus Without Fear, Bill Faith says the following. Watch out for the signs of a dying Christian life. Ask yourself, am I sharing my faith? Do I have only Christian friends? Do I hang around the dead, the diseased, and the lost? If you and the members of your church have forsaken your duty to reach back into the world, I can promise you your church will start to divide, to backbite, and to fight over non-essential Christian issues like hymnal selection and carpet colors. You will become keepers of a Christian aquarium instead of fishers of men. Your church will be on the way to spiritual death. In fact, I can prophesy to any church or to any believer without fear of being in error that if you choose not to evangelize individually or collectively, your church will fossilize. I hope that when critics look at my life and my family and our church, I hope that they would say, who are these people that they associate with, that they eat with, and that they're friends with sinners? Why do they run towards the messes? Why do they run towards the broken and the hurting of this world? Amen.